Let me remind you once more that we do have Good Friday services. One at 6, which communion will be served in the traditional manner. And at 8 o'clock, we will serve where you come forward to receive your elements yourself, as we sing. So you have a choice. Some like the new way, some like the old way. So we're going to do it both ways. That should please most people. Let me urge you, if it's possible, for you to attend the 8 o'clock service. It will be at 8 next Sunday for Easter. We are expecting between 2,000 and 2,500 people for 3 services. Our largest services will be, of course, this service and the 11 o'clock service. So if it's convenient for some of you to come to the 8 o'clock service, we would appreciate you helping out in that manner. You'll turn in your Bibles, please, to chapter 21 of the Gospel according to Matthew. We're going to read about the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem, beginning at verse 1, reading through verse 17. Today, of course, begins Holy Week. Holy Week begins with Palm Sunday and Jesus' triumphant entry, where he proceeds then to cleanse the temple. It moves on until Thursday, which we call Maundy Thursday. That's the night on which he instituted the Lord's Supper. They went from there to the Garden of Gethsemane, where he was taken prisoner. On the next day, Friday, God's Friday, Good Friday, he was crucified and buried. And then the beginning of Easter morning, he was resurrected. So this is an important and significant week in the Christian faith, Holy Week. Let's begin reading together from the story of the triumphant entry. We believe the Bible to be the only infallible rule for faith and practice, the only way to know God's will for our lives, his word to us. We must go to Scripture. It never fails us. It never misleads us. It never lies to us. It always tells us the truth. Listen then and hear what God says in this portion. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent 2 disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey, and there with her colt, by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, tell him that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. "Say to the daughter of Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt, placed their cloaks on them, and Jesus sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." Jesus entered the temple area and drove out all who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves. "It is written," he said to them, "My house will be called a house of prayer, but you are making it a den of robbers." The blind and the lame came to him at the temple and he healed them. But when the chief priests and the teachers of the law saw the wonderful things he did, and the children shouting in the temple area, "Hosanna to the Son of David," they were indignant. "Do you hear what these children are saying?" they asked him. "Yes," replied Jesus. "Have you never read, 'From the lips of children and infants you have ordained praise?'" Then he left them and went out of the city to Bethany, where he spent the night. Our meditation on this first day of Holy Week is entitled, Getting Your Donkey in the Palm Sunday Parade. Our text is verse 3. If anyone says anything to you, tell him the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away. May God bless to us this reading from his holy word. To his name be praise and glory forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, let us pray. Father, use this event to speak to us. Give us fresh insights of what it means to belong to you, to walk with you, and to be a part of what you're doing in the world. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I believe this is my 37th year to be preaching on Palm Sunday about the triumphant entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. I have never lost my sense of amazement that the Jewish people would welcome Jesus on Palm Sunday with accolades and shouts of Hosanna, and yet by the end of the week be howling for his crucifixion. Does that seem as amazing to you as it does to me? How could they change their minds so quickly? How in the world could they switch sides so easily? But as I've thought about it, in a weird sort of way, it does make perfect sense. Let me see if I can help us understand what was going on. Here's the first point. What is the center of your world? Now, if I ask you who the most important person in the world is, you would probably say George Bush or Gorbachev or someone like that. But if I ask you who was the most important person in your world, I would get a different answer. You see, the fact is our field of interest is centered on ourselves. It's centered on our situation, our problems, and what's important to us. And it doesn't matter how insignificant we may be to the rest of the world, we ourselves are the most important persons in our world. Big events may be transpiring elsewhere. Great people may be accomplishing magnificent deeds. But the most important thing in our world is what's happening to us. I've always been amused that whatever country you go to where they print a map of the world, their country is always in the center. My point is this. Our own world tends to revolve around us and what we're doing. The thing that matters the most to us is what's going on in our lives, in our families, in our situations. Now, when we realize that, we can realize that this was also the same, for the Jews when Jesus made his triumphant entry into Jerusalem. It doesn't matter that this was the single most significant event in Jewish history. It doesn't matter that this was the most significant religious event that would occur in their lifetime. No, what really mattered was how did it impact them personally. Now, from the standpoint of history, the Jews lived in a remote region of the Roman Empire. It is true that Jerusalem was hardly a second-rate city by the standards of that day. It is true that in the scheme of things of that day, they were a little-known and less cared-about people. What was going on in their lives and what was happening to them was just not important to the rest of the world. But let me tell you something. It was important to them. It was important to them. As far as they were concerned, they were the center of their world, and they were the most important people in their world. That makes sense, doesn't it? Who's the most important person in your world? Who are the most important persons to you? And that's the first and most important point I want to make on this Palm Sunday. You and those closest to you are the most important people in the world. But the second point I want to make is this. those people were important to Jesus. What happened in their lives and what was important to them was also important to Jesus. And that's the way Jesus is. People may not be important to anyone else. You may not be very significant to the rest of the world, but you are important to Jesus. Right now, as Iraq is caught up in a dreadful civil war, as thousands of people are being slaughtered, as innocent women and children are being murdered, and even though you and I may not feel a great deal of regret about it because we're so separated from it, it doesn't touch us personally, even though we have only a very remote interest in what is happening there, I want to tell you that Jesus cares about every one of those persons. Now, that's hard for us to comprehend. Hear people shooting and killing one another by the thousands, and it doesn't touch our lives. It means little to us personally. And yet it means a great deal to Jesus because he cares about every one of those persons. See how it works. You remember the story of blind Bartimaeus? When he cried out to Jesus, people told him, "Bartimaeus, shut up, be quiet. You're of no importance." But to Jesus, he was important. And he stopped and he called Bartimaeus to him and he healed him. Or take the man who was lame from his birth and who sat by the pool hoping someone would help him into the water when the angel of God stirred the water so that the first one in would be healed. But nobody thought he was important enough to help out with his problem. But Jesus did. Or take the woman at the well in Samaria. She was so poorly thought of that she went to the well to draw her water at a time when nobody else would be there because they treated her like so much dirt. She wasn't important to them. But she was to Jesus. And who cared about those ragtag Jews in that remote province of Judea? Nobody cared much for them. The Romans sent only its second-rate and third-rate leaders to take care of them. But Jesus cared. And that's nice to know, isn't it? It's comforting to know that no matter who we are, no matter how unimportant we are, or how many failures mar our lives, or how little others think of us, we matter to Jesus. I want to remind you of that this morning. There are a lot of great people in the world today, great scientists, great statesmen, great leaders, big movie stars, and a lot of other important persons. But for Jesus, you are as important to him as any of those. I don't know about you, but that comforts me. As a minister, I'll never be a Billy Graham or a Dwight Moody or a Luther or a Calvin. I will never go down in history as a significant pastor, but I'm just as important to Jesus as any of them. But there's a flip side to that. You see, whoever I am, however much money I may have accumulated, however important my job is, whatever my social status, whatever clubs I belong to, whatever community I live in, no matter how magnificent my home, still the poorest, the most insignificant bum on the streets in the inner city of St. Louis is just as important to Jesus as you are. We need to remember that. It's so easy to look down on people, to despise people, to judge people and their worth. But the fact is, every person is of equal worth in the eyes of God because Jesus died for us all. So the first point is that I'm the center of my own world. The second point is that I'm just as important to Jesus as anyone else. But the third point deals with the question of why they turned against Jesus. And after cheering him on Palm Sunday, shouted for his crucifixion on Good Friday. Let me tell you why they turned against him, and it is our third point. It is this. It is because he did not want for them what they wanted for themselves. Let me say it again. He did not want for them what they wanted for themselves. If you could have everything you wanted from God this morning, what would it be? Over in Illinois this past week, people were buying lottery tickets by the thousands because the prize was over $60 million. And the question was, what would you do if you won all that money? On television, they interviewed some of the people, and they asked them what they would do if they won the lottery. Well, if God had a lottery and you had the winning ticket, if you could have anything you wanted from God, what would you ask for? Would you ask to have a lot of money? Would you ask for your marriage to work out better, for your children to turn out well? If you're single, would you ask God to give you the perfect mate? If you're bald, would you want your hair back? If you're fat, would you want to be thin? If you're old, would you want to be young? If you're ugly, would you want to be attractive or to be gifted? Or what would you ask for? But the real question is this. What would God want for you? And how about your prayers right now? What are you praying for? What are you asking God for? And is it what God wants for you? You know, I know pretty well what I want for my life. I know what I need. I know what would make me happy. I know what would give me a sense of fulfillment. But the problem is I have to ask myself, is that what God wants for me? And when I put it in those terms, I discover that what I want for my life is not necessarily what God wants for me. Is that true in your life too? Well, that's exactly what happened to the Jews. They knew exactly what they wanted from God. And they thought Jesus brought it. They wanted a king to come who would be like David of old when the Jews were an important people. He would be a great warrior who would rally the Jewish forces and drive out the hated Romans. The Jews wanted freedom. They wanted to destroy their oppressor. Under David, they had been one of the most powerful and one of the richest nations in the world, and they wanted to be like that again. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus had said, if anyone requires you to go with him 1 mile, go with him two. And back then, a Roman soldier could require a Jew to carry his baggage for a mile, whether he wanted to or not. And the Jews were sick of it. They were sick and tired of being treated like so much scum and being told what to do and what not to do. Jews wanted to be free again, to be great again, to be important again. And when Jesus came, they thought that he would give that to them. But a dreadful thing happened. What they wanted was not what he wanted for them. And that's why they turned against him. During the years of my ministry, I've heard people say some interesting things about their relationship to God. I've heard people say, why did God let this happen to me? I've heard them say, if God is love, why did my loved one die? What kind of God is he? I've heard them say, if God really cares about me, why doesn't he answer my prayers? Why doesn't he give me what I'm praying for? And how sad it's been that many times I've seen people just like the Jews turn against God, drop out of church, quit practicing their religion, all because God didn't do what they thought God should do or what they wanted him to do. Has that ever happened to you? I know it has to me. And that's why the Jews welcomed Jesus on Palm Sunday, but screamed for his crucifixion before the week was over. Yes, I am the most important person in my world. I am important to Jesus. And yes, I know what I want for my life, but it may not be what Jesus wants for me. The fourth thing I want to say is this. What Jesus does want for us is far better than anything we could ever want for ourselves. Let me illustrate. The Jews wanted to be free again and for Israel to be great once more. But Jesus had a far grander vision for them. Even though the Jews as a nation rejected him, and you'll remember when he approached Jerusalem, he wept over the city and he said, "Oh, I would have gathered you together as a hen gathers her chickens, and you would not." And with just the residual of a handful of people, 11 disciples, he created the greatest army the world has ever seen. And by 325 A.D., the Christians had conquered the entire Roman Empire and was officially the religion of Rome. As some critics complained, they had turned the world upside down. The world was never to be the same again. They had one idea of greatness. Jesus had another. He had a vision, a dream they couldn't begin to imagine. Let me ask you this question. If God could have His way in your life, if God could do with you what He wished to do, what great thing could He do with your life this morning? You see, God's dream for you, God's will for your life is far grander, far more magnificent than you can ever imagine. My fifth point is this: to get yourself in God's parade, you've got to put your donkey at God's disposal. In our scripture for this morning, Jesus sent His men into the city to secure a donkey for the Palm Sunday parade. He said to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, tell him that the Lord needs them. Tell them that the Lord needs them, and He will send them right away." Do you understand? When you take what you have and put it at the disposal of Jesus, you put yourself in God's parade. Let me ask you a question this morning. If Jesus sent for your donkey, if Jesus sent for all you have, if He asked for all that you have to give, would you give it to Him? Would you send it right away? You see, I don't know how else we get ourselves in the Palm Sunday parade. Are you ready this morning to put yourself and all you have at the disposal of Jesus and say to Him, "Lord, here I am. Take me, use me as You will. Put me in the middle of Your will. Put me in the middle of Your parade to use me as You will." If you flipped your Bible back two pages from our scripture this morning, you would find the story of the rich young ruler. He came to Jesus and he wanted to know how to have eternal life. And finally Jesus told him, He said, "Go, sell your possessions and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow Me." Here was the chance for this young man to go down in history, to do some great deed, to become a follower of Jesus Christ. And all he had to do was to put his donkey at the disposal of Jesus. But he couldn't do it. The Bible says when the young man heard this, he went away sad because he had great wealth. Yes, he went away. And Jesus and those with Him walked off into the future to go down in history as the greatest event of all times. What would happen in the centuries to come rested with them. But the rich young ruler walked off into obscurity, never to be heard from again. You see, he couldn't bring himself to put his donkey in the Jesus parade. In the musical, Jesus Christ Superstar, the disciples of Jesus have a song in which they sing, Jesus, you know we love you. Didn't you see us wave as you passed by? Jesus isn't looking for disciples sitting on the balcony watching the parade pass by on the road below and just waving. No, he wants us down on the road, marching with him. If we just sing, you know we love you, didn't you see us wave as you passed by, do we really love him after all? How about you this morning? On this Palm Sunday, Jesus has a great parade marching down the road of history. Will you be in that parade? Or will you just wave when it passes by? Are you willing when he asks for what you have, when it's said the Lord needs them? Will you send them right away? You see, that's the only way to get your donkey in the Jesus parade.